Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. Today we are continuing our series on decisions, and in this week's episode, we talk about what it means to make decisions well. When it comes to making the right decision, what are some scriptures that can help us to do so? What do we need to pray for? What are some practical ways we can make decisions better? In this two-part episode, my guest and I will discuss this and so much more as we learn to make decisions that bring glory to God. My guest today is Garrett Bernethy. Garrett is the preaching minister at the Hydro Church of Christ in Hydro, Oklahoma, and serves as president of Excel Still More. And I'm your host, Tyler Wall. And you're listening to Road Trips.
All right, Garrett Bernethy, welcome to the show.
Tyler, it's good to be here with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So last week we talked about offering our whole selves to God and how that impacts each decision that we make. So this week I kind of want to get into just the nuts and bolts, kind of the practical side of decision making. And like we said last week, decisions are such a big part of young adulthood and just life in general. And so how can we make decisions well? How can we make the right decisions as followers of Jesus? And that's kind of what we're talking about today. So just to start out with, what are some scriptures maybe we can go to when it comes to making the right decisions, and what can we learn from those?
Well, I think if it's okay, I'd like to start out maybe with a few just general thoughts as we kind of work our way down into some scriptural thoughts that I think are beneficial, just things that I've learned in my own life. And I think that there's enough text that would back this up that I think it's important just to note some general thoughts, because the topic or idea of decisions is very broad. And there's a lot to think about here. So in just some general thoughts, and I know that your audience is mainly younger adults, young families, kind of who you're targeting. And by the way, I'm so excited that I get to be on here with you, especially being on the Excel Pod Network as one of our podcasts. So this is really cool for me. So I really do appreciate it. But here's some general thoughts, and I think there's four of them that I'll offer before we get into this. But in order to make the best decisions, it's important to know that you're going to fail. You're going to fail. At some point in your life, you're going to fail. Everybody has failed at something within their life. You put the wrong shoe on the wrong foot when you were little. And so that's something that you grew and you learned from. So, you know, failure is not our enemy. Failure is often our best teacher. And I think it's important for us to know that. So if I were to encourage anybody and everybody who's listening to this in this process, I would say, don't be afraid to fail. Do your best to learn from what you have failed at, because failure really is a part of the process. There's just no getting around that. Secondly, it's important to know that when we're talking about decision-making, what we're really doing is we're inquiring about wisdom. And there's a lot to be said about wisdom in Scripture. And so in order to make the best decisions that we're trying to make, we need to draw from the, you know, well, if you will, of life wisdom that's all around us, from people who have lived, people who have failed, people who have won in life, so that we can learn, you know, a whole lot of things from those individuals. Because the reality is that's what, you know, in many cases, that's what wisdom literature is. So if we think about from Job all the way to Song of Solomon, there's a lot of wisdom that is shared. And there are three levels of wisdom that we can gain from that. You have what we might call level one wisdom, which is, you know, it's like academic wisdom. It's learning math. It's learning English. It's learning, you know, those things that we grow up in school learning, no matter what form of school you have. And so that's what it is. It's also being a craftsman. So electrician, a plumber, a carpenter, that would be a level one wisdom that we can gain that wisdom literature would talk about. Now, level two wisdom is life wisdom. And that's really probably more in the realm of what we're discussing today, but it's going to your grandpa's house and sitting on the porch with him and and he's sharing, you know, his life knowledge with you, you know, his successes, his failures. So maybe he was a great businessman. So he's sharing that stuff with you, whatever that looks like, family, church, it doesn't matter. That's life wisdom that he has gained that he's sharing with you. And Solomon does that in the book of Proverbs, sharing it with his son of royalty. Ecclesiastes is also life wisdom. You have 18 different things that Solomon tried and did not ultimately find fulfillment in. There was no real purpose from an eternal perspective that he could find in the things that he was doing. So in chapter 12 and verse 13, he said, so when all is said and done, you know, here's the only two things that I can really tell you matter, and that's fear God and keep his commandments. That's really the entire point of life. And so that's life wisdom, and there's a great deal to take from that. Third, I would say that, especially to young people, and I say this because this is how I was, is that everybody, or at least, you know, maybe a majority, I don't know what the percentage might be, but a lot of young people come up, myself included, and you thought that you knew more than you did. And that is, I don't know if it's a natural thing, but it's definitely something that we all go through. So whether you are a single person, whether you're married, accept the fact that you don't know as much as other people who have lived. And here's the kicker, you're not supposed to know as much as they do. And we need to know that that's okay. We just have to know that it's okay that you don't know as much as somebody else, especially when you're going into the workforce, maybe you're going into ministry. You know, no matter what that is, if you're sitting next to a person who's been doing something for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you're not going to know as much as them. They have a lot of experience that you don't, and you're not supposed to be in the same place as them. You're growing and young, and that's something I hope everybody will kind of take with them and be okay with that. It's okay to be who you are. And then fourth, just kind of these general thoughts, you know, making decisions of any magnitude, it's a process. It really is. And it takes time to learn how to make those decisions and, you know, what works best for you and what doesn't. So to kind of go into your main question here, and you interrupt me at any point that you want, but going back to you know, decisions and seeking wisdom and how adulthood is filled with all of that, what does the Bible teach us about those things? I want us to think about first, you know, the different types of decisions that we have in a day. When we decide to get up, when to shower, when to do the laundry, when to clean the house, and of course, if we should do it at all, when to look at our bank statements and understand the amount of money that we have in the bank. These are all daily decisions that we make every day. And oftentimes, we label these as small or little decisions, right? So from a bigger perspective, an individual or married couple, they're going to make what we typically think of as a large decision, right? It's where to go to church or what house to buy or how much to spend on that house. You know, how much of a loan should we get out? What's our budget going to be? Who are our friends going to be? When to get married and where that's going to happen? What job should I get? What field should that be in? And we really can get drowned out with a lot of those, you know, things that come our way, because they're all big decisions that everybody really does have to make. And so again, all of these are what we would kind of title a big decision. But I think that it's important to understand that every decision really is important, no matter how big or small that we may deem it to be. And here's why, is that small things can often influence the big things. So for instance, just kind of as an illustration, you have a busy week or a busy month. And, you know, me and my family right now, we are knee deep in baseball season, fall baseball. And so we've got games going all the time. We have a lot of stuff going at church. We have a lot of stuff going on with Excel Stillmore Inc. And so we're busy. And let's, you know, over time, let's just say that, you know, we decide we're not going to be cleaning the house. And I know that seems small and whatever, but anybody who's gone through this is going to understand what I'm about to say. You decide not to do that. And so over time, laundry builds up, dishes build up, trash builds up. Of course, we typically take our trash out, but you know, stuff just kind of builds up around the house. And what ends up happening is you're so busy, and when you get home, everybody wants to come home to a clean house. But when you get home after doing all this stuff, now you have to clean the house because the house is dirty. Well, when things build up like that, it becomes overwhelming. And that overwhelming thing that is in front of you can really begin to have an effect on you. And you know that you want to clean the house, and you really need to clean the house, but the reality is that it's brought you to a point where you're defeated before you ever start. And so that can begin to affect your daily habits. It can begin to affect the daily drive that you have, the relationships within your family, to where you can get short with your spouse or short with your children or whatever that looks like for you. And you know, that can really begin to affect bigger decisions, because it's affecting all of our life, even though in reality it's kind of a small thing. But small and big are really relative to whoever, you know, whatever person that we're talking to. There's not, you know, you can begin to really stress the relationships around you, not because there's anything wrong with the relationship, but because some of the small things we haven't been doing have now turned large. So another easy illustration of that would be retirement. Retirement is often considered a big thing, but you can't retire in a day. I think if we were to do that, then both you and I would be out, you know, doing something else. Then, well, maybe we wouldn't be, but you know what I'm saying. So, you know, we can't retire in a day. It takes time. So we do the little things, you know, every month, every couple of weeks, whenever you get paid, you put a portion of that money that you make into an investment, whether it be a 401k, a mutual fund, something like that. And those little numbers over time begin to accumulate into larger numbers. And, you know, hopefully that grows into something at some point in your life that you can retire. So little things can affect the big things. The second thing, or second point about this, would be that small things in most cases might be the things that can make you happiest, most comfortable, or even most loved. So if we think about relationships in our life, the I love yous, you know, those are a big deal. Doing the dishes or folding the laundry before your wife gets home from the store or work or you know, wherever. Making a cup of coffee and having it ready before your spouse gets out of bed. Reading to your children at night. Maybe having a movie night or a family fun night. Those are what we would kind of deem as small things, but they can make us extremely happy. So, you know, those are all decisions that we make. Now, to kind of flip on the other side, big things don't come around as often. For some people, you may have big decisions all the time, and that, you know, is your reality. But whenever you put the two together, the little decisions will always outweigh the big decisions just because of the nature of them. So, you know, most people would deem buying a house as a major financial investment. That's a big decision. The decision to put your grandmother in a nursing home, to move from one career to the next, or deciding to have children, or, you know, this is a spiritual podcast, becoming a Christian, huge decision. And these are things that only come around every now and then. They're not everyday decisions. And so big things don't come around as often. But fourthly, we need to understand, kind of opposite of what we talked about first, is that big things are directly influenced by those little things. So just thinking about it from the big perspective instead of the little perspective is that if we think about basketball, right? I love basketball. I know you like sports. But if you think about any sport, basketball is easy. If you take Michael Jordan, many would argue that he is the greatest player of all time. And there's a lot of stats to prove that, or to make the argument, right? I don't want anybody getting on a big argument in your notes. But anyway, he would have never been able to do what he did unless somebody taught him to dribble the ball. So he became a great shooter because somebody taught him to shoot, and he practiced shooting. He would have never been a great passer unless somebody taught him to pass, and therefore he practiced the. So he was always working on them, but he was working on the little things, because his championships and all of his accolades, they were directly influenced by all the small things that he did every day. And that connects us, you know, directly to our lives. Our life is no different And that's just an easy illustration of it. So in most cases, we talk about big decisions. We often think that it's easier to make those, or sometimes we might think that it's easier to make the little decisions. But in some cases, I kind of think the bigger decisions sometimes are easier because we take more time to think about them. We evaluate everything. And that's mainly because we don't want to make a bad decision because it's big and it has big things that surround it. So even with that being said, I think that we need to think about all decisions from every perspective and kind of label them for us. So one of those labels that we can make is daily decisions. You know, what to wear, what to eat, when to get up, when to go to sleep, when to do the dishes or the laundry, right? These are everyday decisions that we often feel are small and insignificant. Secondly, would be life decisions. Buying the house or car, picking a field to work in or a job that will support your family and where that will be, where to go to church, how to parent your kids. Those are life decisions. Then you have character decisions. And these are decisions that are based on how you act when someone does something bad to you, or how to deal with your feelings when big stuff begins to build up inside you, or what to do when presented with an opportunity, you know, to do something that you know that you shouldn't when there is nobody there to stop you. What to say, how to react when somebody is lying to you or about you. This one's important because these aren't, in many cases, not every case, but in many cases, these are very, very challenging because they're in the thick of the moment type decisions. They're split second decisions that you make in response to something that's going on. And you don't always have time to think about them. So those are very challenging, but those are what we might call character decisions. And then you have family decisions, putting family first, raising kids, teaching faith, things of that nature. And so each of those can be characterized in those different types of decisions that you'll make in your life. And to be honest, we probably could add a lot more. But what we really need to understand about this is that decision-making really is very important no matter what level it is, big or small. And we can't begin to make the right decisions unless we have the right mindset. So here are a few different passages of things that we can just think about in the decision-making process. Is that one, every decision we make needs to consider the guidance of God. Every single one needs to consider that. If there is one thing I have learned in life, it's that God has always been involved in my life. And I think that that's a very, very valuable thing for people to think about. So, you know, for a few different scriptures and for whoever's listening, I'm not going to quote each one of these, but I'm going to give these texts to you and maybe we can talk about some, but Proverbs 3:5-6, learn to trust God. That's a very important thing. Learn to trust him. A lot of decisions that we make need to have his trust. James chapter 1 and verse 5, we need to learn to pray for wisdom whenever we're faced with these types of decisions. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, we need to learn that God is going to provide a direction for us. We need to listen to that. And I don't mean that, you know, in any other way, you know, than you know, understanding what the will of the Lord is and allowing him to lead your life in a direction based on what the text teaches us. And anything like that. So the decisions of your life need to be considerate of those things, but they also need to be considerate of seeking the counsel of others. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14 is a place that really helps us to understand that. We'll quote that probably here a little bit later on. But really the reality of what that text is saying is that wise counsel can bring stability to you, to your mind, to your life, to your relationships, seeking counsel. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22 is another place that would talk about that good decisions come from seeking advice. And there's a lot of value in seeking the counsel of others and, of course, of God in your life. Another one would be looking at how to prioritize the needs in your life that take place. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the renewing and transformation of your mind. So renewed minds are something that help you make godly decisions because you have him in mind. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we understand the kingdom needs to come before everything else. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Psalm 119:105, God's word is something that gives clarity to your choices. And so we'll probably look at that a little bit more. So those are a few different texts that help us, in regard to just the small things, but as well as the big things. Consider the guidance that God offers. Be considerate of seeking counsel from those who know more than you. Prioritize your life. So, and to add on top of that, there are two main texts. There are two pairs, really, that I always offer people who are seeking guidance or who are struggling in some way that really add on to what we just talked about. And these are two things that I always encourage people to remember and meditate on, right? Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2 talks about meditating, basically in his word day and night. So chewing on the cud with all of this stuff. And one of those is very important, Matthew 6, 33 and 34. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's something that really puts our focus, right? It puts our focus on today and what I need today, but also puts our focus on the kingdom and his righteousness. So very important. And the second one is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, which Paul says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. So again, going back up to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, there's a mindset, there's a focus. And if we have those things in perspective, then that's going to help us. And here's why. You as a young adult, fresh out of college, newly married, whatever that looks like for you, you're going to be faced with a number of things. Challenges that you are going to have to overcome. Family challenges, financial challenges, spiritual challenges, church challenges, relationship challenges, personal challenges, people challenges. I mean, we could go on. Work, you name it, we can list this all day long. But while some may affect you more than others, or some may be big or larger than others, you're going to have to make decisions through all of this. So when these things come around, what decisions will you make? Well, if I don't have any guidance, if I don't have any, if I don't have the text guide in my life, if I don't have people that are really in my corner helping me, guiding me, and I'm not preparing myself for this, things can get pretty bad because you're liable to make one bad decision after the next. And first, we said, don't be afraid to fail. But there's a difference in failing because you didn't prepare and then failing even though you did prepare, right? Because preparation considers the idea that you could fail. So when those things happen, are you going to panic, right? When the bank account reads zero or it's in the negative, are you going to panic and go out and try to get a bunch of loans so you can get some money in the account right now? Are you going to flee when you're presented with a challenge with one of the members of the church that happens? Are you going to flee? Are you going to jump to conclusions when you hear something about someone? Are you going to... when life gets tough and it's really kicked you in the teeth, or you're going to get down in the fetal position and cry. Maybe you do. I don't know. Are you going to make drastic decisions that may make you feel better for the moment, but may hurt you over the course of time? All of these are possibilities. And in some cases, or maybe all of them, these can all be involved in a single event. Every one of those can be in a single event. And the question is, what will you do? How will you get through it? Well, oftentimes, those two sets of scriptures that I often give out, and there's so many more that we could give out. What I try to do with those, and I do with myself, and that's why I give those out, because I use them personally, is it helps me, and I'm hopeful that it helps others to kind of refocus their minds about life and their current situation, which helps them to understand that, one, no situation ever lasts forever. things are going to pass. Two, oftentimes things are not as bad as they seem. Sometimes they are, but not every case is as bad. Three, your focus should not be on what is to come. It should be on what is now. And four, we need to understand that our purpose in life is not about this life. It really is about walking to the life after this. So no matter how bad things may seem, or you know, there's something that is greater that's waiting for the Christian, and that's something you can hang your hat on. But you can also, you know, throughout all the things that are going in life, you can have the right mindset to make right decisions, the best decisions. And a godly focus really helps, because a godly focus is an intentional reality where one makes no decision without God in mind. If he's involved in my life, then I need to involve him in my decisions. And so, you know, with several of those texts, I'm hopeful that you know, some of those things would help.
Yeah, you said a lot of good stuff there. And I think, just to kind of walk through a little bit of what you said, just knowing that we're gonna fail, it's not always gonna go exactly how we want it to. And I think that that's important for us to understand, is that life is not always gonna look exactly how you had maybe hoped or maybe you had planned. Rarely, if any, it goes exactly how you thought it would. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not a good thing. And then inquiring wisdom, obviously you mentioned the wisdom literature. You mentioned from Job all the way to Song of Solomon. There's so much good stuff in there. And you referenced a lot of the Proverbs when it came to some scriptures to kind of help us out. And then this one, I didn't like as much. You don't know as much as you think. Yeah, I didn't like that, but it is very, very true. When you're young, you just think, man, like all these old people, they don't know anything. Let me show them all the answers. And you were spot on, a little too spot on though with that one. But that was really good. And just kind of thinking that it is a process. And I think that it is hard to kind of have that long view, or that view that says, okay, I'm at the beginning of my journey, wherever that is in my career, and really in our spiritual lives as well. We're really truly at the beginning of our walk with Jesus and our life with God. And there's still so much to learn. There's so much that needs to be done. And so I think that that last point there can kind of release some of the pressure we might put on ourselves when it comes to making decisions, is that I have not arrived yet. I haven't gotten there yet. And we won't here on earth, but there's still a lot of wisdom, and there's still a lot to be learned and a lot to be gained when it comes to just life with God and decision making. The first verse that I put in my notes was the one that you said, was Proverbs 3:5-6. And then I think Matthew 6:33-34 and Colossians 3:1-2 are such really good things, because it's kind of like you were saying, if you get those two things right, then that's going to help each decision that you make, whether it's quote unquote spiritual in nature or it's not. If you filter everything through that lens of I'm seeking the kingdom first, I'm setting my minds on things above. Last week, we talked about Romans 12:1. I'm offering my body, I'm offering my whole self as a living sacrifice to God. If we filter everything through those lenses, through the lens of God, through what Jesus has done for us, through us striving our best to be a follower of Jesus, then that's going to help us make all those good decisions that we need to. So those are some really good thoughts. When it comes to, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit, you talked about God being involved in each decision that you make. Certainly, prayer is a big aspect in that. Sometimes when I've had to make especially the big decisions, usually I'll confess, I don't pray and say, hey, God, what should I have for lunch? I just kind of make that decision on my own. But when it comes to those bigger decisions, and even the little ones too, prayer is certainly a big deal and a big aspect in that. What are some things we could perhaps pray for when it comes to those decisions?
Well, I think it's, you know, to start off with, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you know, tells us to pray without ceasing. So I think that's a good place to start, to know that we really do need to be praying all the time. And, you know, Paul writes to Timothy and he talks about, you know, prayers and supplications and thanksgivings. You know, so there's a lot of different types of prayer. And so, you know, while we'd love to go into all that, that would be a great study for anybody who's you know, thinking about prayer. Prayer really does need to be involved throughout all of our life and about everything that's going on in our lives. So I don't think that there needs to be any distinctions about, well, I need to pray for this, I don't need to pray for that. And I thought you brought up a great, you know, do I need to pray for what I have and, you know, for what I'm going to eat for lunch, a hamburger versus a sandwich? No, I don't know that we need to pray for that, but praying and be thankful for the food, no matter what that is. So, you know, there's, I guess, a couple of sides to that. But again, I want to go back to this thought is that if we want God in our lives, then we need to include God in our lives. And a lot of people, you know, want God in their life, but the inclusion is where things get a little bit, you know, bleak. And so this is, you know, if we're going to walk daily with God, if we're going to seek the wisdom of God, I need to include God in all the things that I'm doing. You know, first, we need to really begin praying for the time that you're in. And that goes back to that Matthew 6:34, where we're in the moment, we're in the day. Today has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself, right? So we need to pray for the time that we're in. If we're going to stick to our passages of Matthew and Colossians. So it's important that you're living for today. It's so easy to get ahead of yourself, you know, and if you think about it, whenever you're young, you can't wait till whatever age your parents said. Now, it wasn't this way for me because cell phones weren't really out yet until I was later on in my teenage years. But probably, you know, for kids now, it's like, what age can I get a cell phone? So I'm looking forward to that age. Then it's, what age can I drive? Well, 16 is the next age. I can't wait till I'm 16. And then you have other things that you can do. Well, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till I'm 21. I can't wait till I'm 30, right? I can't wait till I'm, you know, I don't know if anybody looks forward to being 50 or whatever, but at some point you begin to look forward to 65 when you're able to fully have retirement and Social Security, and you look forward to that. So you're like, I'm waiting for that age. But if we're always looking forward and waiting for the next thing to come, we're going to miss all the things that are going on right now. So it's important to pray for the time you're in, to focus on the time that you're in, because today is where your life is. So pray, you know, pray for you, pray for your day, pray what all that consists of, whether you know it or not. That would be a big thing that I would really push. A second would be, you know, and some of these are general because there's so many situations, so many things that people are making decisions about. And so in some ways, I feel like we have to make these generalized. And in some cases, we'll narrow it down. But it kind of from a second perspective, outside of praying for today, you do need to pray for what is to come. While today is the most important thing to me, because it's the right now, tomorrow will eventually come, and tomorrow will eventually be today. So with each day, we prepare for what is to come, meaning how you grow in the Lord, how you prepare financially, how you take care of your body. You know, we can go on down the list. Because all of that is going to be reflected at some point in your life in the now. So what you do today will be reflected tomorrow. So to kind of illustrate that, there was a quote that I heard a number of years ago, long time ago, and it has stuck with me for forever since that time. And it's simply this: if you live your life today for God, then tomorrow you will be able to say that you have lived your life for God. And really, in everything that we do, you know, that you could reflect that statement and revise it in some way. And that's important, because I believe that in that true statement, it's true because you're making the intentional decision for it to be true. So third, if we're, it is, you know, in every podcast or every Bible class, I push this, and I know that you do too. And every preacher does this, right? Spend time in your Bible, right? If we're spending time in our Bibles, oftentimes, all the time, we will come to a passage that will challenge us. And it could challenge you, you know, in regard to your character. It could challenge you in where you're spending your time, where your priorities are. Maybe even what addiction that you're dealing with, right? 1 John 5:1-3 teaches that our ability to show God our love is found in the keeping of His Word, the keeping of His commandments. And what we find is that the more time we spend with Him, the more time we will be conformed to Him. So now we go back to that Romans 12:1-2 passage that we have mentioned before. So third, we need to pray for patience, right? Pray for the patience to be able to think, the wisdom to consider, the maturity to handle, the ability to reflect, the opportunities to grow. Those are things that we need to be praying for, you know, in our life, because those things connect to all the decisions that we have in life. Fourth, we need to really think about the different things that maybe we get a little bit more specific about. Matthew 6:11 talks, you know, discusses a prayer for our daily needs. Psalm 51:10 discusses a prayer for forgiveness and talks about that idea. Matthew 26:41, strength over temptation. James 1:5, wisdom and understanding. Philippians 4:6-7, we could talk about the peace in our life, or we could talk about the idea of being relieved of the anxiety that we have or the worry that we have in life. Colossians 1:9-10, spiritual growth. That's something to pray for. And of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, you know, we really need to spend some time specifically, you know, praying and giving thanks to God. And so, you know, those are all things that really go or are directed toward the specific needs that we have in our life. And I really do believe are important. And so your Bible study, our Bible study, really is one of the most valuable ways that we can spend our time. Because whenever you're in it, it will begin to reflect in your life. So your decisions, your prayers, your actions, even your example will at that point become a reflection of what God is shaping you to be. And so, you know, from a prayer perspective, those are some things that I would offer that you can pray about that may help you in those, you know, daily situations and decisions.
Yeah, that's really good. And just to kind of recap, pray for the time that you're in. Pray for what's going on right now, because you mentioned, and this is so true, and this is something that I've definitely struggled with in my own life. It's always, you're always kind of thinking about the next thing. I think I told my wife yesterday, I'm like, I'm so ready for Christmas. I mean, I stay ready for Christmas, but especially when it's 95 degrees, but pray for the time that you're in. It's not Christmas yet. It's not time for your retirement. It's not time for, if you're a college student, it's not time for graduation yet. It's not time for the promotion or whatever you're wanting. And so we have to pray for what's going on today. What am I doing today? I got a meeting at 10 o'clock today. Well, maybe I can pray for that. So you brought up a lot of good stuff about that, because it is so true. And I think especially as young adults and just younger people in general, there is so much to look forward to. But the reality is what we're looking forward to hasn't happened yet. And so we can maybe see what's coming, or maybe we can imagine it or think about it or hope for it, but it's just not here yet. We have today. And as James 4 talks about, today is really all that's promised. And so we truly need to be in the moment. And also, I think this is something you brought up too, is when we are in the moment, we are also thinking about what is to come in our spiritual life, whether that's when God calls us home or when Jesus returns. When we are in the moment, we're looking for opportunities to serve. We're looking for opportunities to love others, to be in relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to have a good marriage. You can go down the list, to be generous towards others. When we're constantly thinking of the future, when we're constantly thinking of, man, I just cannot wait for this next time or this next season of my life, then we could miss out on some opportunities that are right in front of us today. So, and then leading into that, praying for what is to come, like just God, make sure that I'm okay in good standing with you. Make sure I'm walking in your way so that when it is that time, I'm ready. So that is when it is that time, I know that I'll be home with you. And so I think that those are two really good things. And praying for patience, I think that goes right in line with what you said there at the beginning about praying for the time that you're in, because there is this tendency, especially for young adults, to just not be patient, to want to kind of rush things, whether it's relationships or I have this intrusive thought that I want to say, you know, start a coffee shop and I don't have any money saved up because I'm not patient. And so we do need to pray for patience and pray for specific needs. And one of the, I guess this would fall under that category of specific needs. One of the things that I wrote down is praying for a pure heart and the right motives. I think of Psalm 139, 23 and 24, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." That's something that I've noticed just in my own life and talking to friends, something that we all go through is, am I choosing this way to truly show that I'm loving God and that I'm loving others? Am I choosing this prestigious school just so others will marvel at me and talk about just how smart I am? Am I showing kindness and serving others so that I can truly love them with the love of Jesus, or so that I can video it and post it on YouTube later? Yeah. So what are my motives? What are the reasons why I am doing those things? And that's a bold thing to ask from the psalmist, because God already knows our hearts. He already knows our minds. And yet he's still praying, God, reveal that, make it known. And if there's anything off in me, get that out. And so I thought that was also a good thought of asking for the right motives, asking for a pure heart and a right mind.
Well, Garrett, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a great conversation.
Well, Tyler, thank you for having me. I appreciate you and this podcast and you know, for you having me on and being able to talk about these things. I'm just really grateful for the opportunity.
Absolutely.